Broadcasting 2.0 for December 29th, 2023, episode 161. We're cooking with Sterno. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the official board meeting that encompasses all of podcasting. Go nowhere else. All you need to be is right here, the only boardroom that has meetings during vacations and holidays. Oh, yes. You want to know what's happening, what the latest is, what's going on with the index, with the namespace, all the discussions at podcastindex.social. You came to the right place. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who's fedifying the index. One Rust code line at a time. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, I barely made it, but I got it. I got a big chunk of tape, copper tape, between the Rodecaster and my USB-C cable.
I gotta get some of that. That sounds like a really good idea instead of the ferrite cubes.
There's like a roll. It comes in a roll, so... Like, it looks like it's the size of duct tape, but it's just copper foil. So here's why I got it.
I was going to say, what do you typically buy that for? Not to yeah. Shield your USB cables, no doubt.
I bought it to line to line the inside of my guitar electronics cavities where they route the guitar body out. They're not balanced. It's not a balanced input.
Same things. You got a pickup, literally a pickup that is there to pick up all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Noise.
Electric guitars are basically noise amplifiers. You know?
Yes. Yeah. We discovered Dave had a little weird noise and he said, the Rodecaster. And I immediately said, move the USB cable. And he did. And it worked. That was great.
It was like magic. And immediately it was gone. But the problem is my USB-C cable.
Yeah.
Is already stretched to its limit. So wanting to always go back and rest on top of the XLR jack. So I just put some copper foil there.
Oh.
I feel like we're in good shape. I don't hear any hissy.
I think I need some of this copper foil tape to keep my tinfoil hat in place. It's probably
you basically build a
yeah.
What they call those things what's the rooms that you make out of coil?
Oh, Faraday cage.
A Faraday cage. Yeah. You're going to Faraday cage your head.
Yeah. Well, Dave, here we are. It's the end of the year. It's another year of podcasting 2.0. We're still friends. I love that. We've been friends now. Is this our 13th year, 14th year? No, more even maybe.
Oh.
14th year, I think.
Yeah, we started Freedom Controller, 2010 or 2009, something like that?
Almost as long as two wives put together.
and we've never had a fight.
Never had a fight. Actually, never. I don't think we've ever had a fight.
I can't remember one.
No.
It was a tiny one, and I don't remember, and I moved on fast.
Implying that it was my fault? Nice.
You took the bait.
It was fun listening to some of the year-end shows, listening to Todd and Rob, and then listening to the podcast industrial complex although somehow they slipped you in. How did you get in the door?
I'm pretty good at that about just, it's like, do you remember in The Office when that woman, she just went and sat in the office and set up all her stuff? And she just became the manager just because she interloped.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
I just interloped my way into various podcasts this year.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I like that. But otherwise,
they're like, we don't know why he's here, but I guess we'll play him anyway.
And then there was the media roundtable, which is just, it's become a favorite listen. I don't want to say hate listen because I don't hate them at all.
No, not at all. Yeah.
No, but I just listened to them and I felt bad because everyone's, kind of demure and, it's all going down and we don't know how to count downloads or impressions or whatever. We don't know what to count anymore. And it's confusing and people aren't buying ads and we have to go. I do like the term NTR. This is a good one. I think James, who was on the round table, he came up with NTR.
What is that?
Oh, non-traditional revenue.
I do like NTR.
I like NTR. Yeah, NTR. And they just use it as an acronym. I had never heard of it before. Well, yes, I think NTR. So basically that means everything except advertising and value for value for some reason. It was like, oh,
Nick the Rad.
What? Nick the NTR. There you go. Nick the Rad. Which was interesting because not nary a mention of Value for Value.
No, on the Media Roundtable. I was listening closely, and I like the Media Roundtable too, because you get, it's like a window into the mind of the podcast industrial complex,
into the dark the soulless dark hole of the podcast industrial complex.
You're staring weekly into the podcast abyss. Industrial complex's plex's hole,
the yes. abyss, the abyss, yes.
And it is depressing sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm so amazed by. Again, you know, we'll get to that. I think you have some clips, so I'll mm-hmm. reserve my comment perhaps until you play those, so we can just, because we got a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to play these clips? Does that stand for Media Roundtable?
It does. Okay. It's let's see. It stands for.
Let's just get it out of the way so we can move forward and get ready for 2024.
Okay. So the, you know, we've been on this. On this tip, we've been on the tip of what is the real reason why the term podcast is getting redefined right. to mean anything, especially YouTube videos. And they always dance around. When I say they, I mean the podcast industrial complex, which the podcast industrial complex for purposes of this discussion. I'm defining as the digital advertising buyers and brokers and agencies
and researchers and press.
And press. Yes. All of the, everybody attached to digital advertising who is then layered on top of the podcast infrastructure. So they're basically using podcasting as just another digital advertising channel. Mm-hmm. So they don't have any really inherent loyalty to podcasting as a medium. It's just, they just happen to be there. Tomorrow it could be something else. So we know that, you know, they say these things in this way, but this is like the clearest example that I've heard. Cause they get on this talk about what does it mean for YouTube videos to be called podcasts? And Sky Pillsbury, who writes a newsletter, was on there, and she was.
I actually liked her the best. I liked her the best of all the people that I heard. Yeah, she was interesting. I've not heard her before.
Yeah, great name too.
It's true.
So she was saying that that she's got a real problem with this. She hates the fact that that YouTube videos are being called podcasts. And this in this discussion ensues, which contains basically the clearest explanation of the way this thing works, and then she asks a follow up and it clarifies it even more. So they ask the host what the deal is with all that on the buying side. And basically what he says is a podcast is whatever you need it to be to sell it.
Yeah, here's how I would look at it on behalf of the buying community is that complexity is not our friend. You know, if you think about, I think that that large agencies and large brands have to create a bunch of rules. And right now they draw their lines all different places. So some people put podcasts in their radio line item. Some people put it under digital because they're streaming heavy. Some people have a digital audio line item. But how that is coded for a brand when they set their budgets is really, really significant. And so I remember it in the early days. I mean, we're really talking 5 to 10 years ago. There were a lot of networks working very hard to go to Madison Avenue, meet with the big holding companies and fight for them to add podcasting as a line item on their budgets. And I think that that is happening increasingly. I think that the momentum is there and it's going to be the rule. So the challenge is if you force a new definition to something that is a podcast that goes on video, if it's a native audio conversation that you're now distributing with a video on a video platform, probably YouTube, possibly elsewhere, you're going to have, somebody's going to have to go fight that battle all over again, or the video impressions will get neglected. And so we kind of have some infrastructure around people doing influencer marketing with YouTube influencers, and then you have podcast and audio influencers. But when they cross over between the two, it can really get lost in the shuffle. And if you want creators to maximize the revenue they could be getting to support their shows, the best way to do that is to give them simple definitions for the brand community to buy through.
Oh man, hold on a second. A couple of words I wrote down. Buying community, yes. Brands community, podcast influencers, and native yes. audio conversations.
Ooh, I like NAC.
NAC.
Yeah.
NTR is NAC. Okay.
Yeah, you have a NAC for podcast influencers. Who would that be?
I mean, the whole thing is what is being ignored here is the actual audience. Who gives a crap? As long as we got some numbers, yeah. And the influencers, I think, are people who you do native ads, basically.
Okay. So that's anybody who's brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Is using yeah. something or is talking about something. YouTube is filled with these, of course. I mean, even in our podcast space, you see guys who are reviewing mixers and microphones. They're influencers, whether they're getting paid for it or not. They're influencers because they're talking about a brand, unboxers, all this stuff. It's all kind of geared towards commerce and towards the sale of products and services.
Right.
There's no real. I didn't once hear just say podcasting. Podcast influencers, no. Native audio conversations, YouTube videos. I didn't hear just podcasters. Podcasters.
So Skye Pillsbury follows up just to make sure that, because that was, as you mentioned, that reply was, it was clear in its structure, but it was muddled with a lot of, like, you know, jargon, industry jargon. So in the digital ad space, jargon. So she makes a follow-up to clarify, to make it even simpler what's going on.
So you're saying it's interesting, because what you're saying is that it actually, what I'm seeing as complicating what a podcast is, you're saying actually keeping the term podcast, even if it's on YouTube, keeps it simpler for the advertising buyer. And that makes complete sense to me. So,
yeah, because otherwise they've got to go across the hall and go to the influencer team and go, hey, can I get some of your revenue to put against the video component of this podcast? You don't want them having to do that. The more steps they got to take, the less likely they are to do it. So
100%.
Yeah. So I think it's actually better for their business if we can forego that.
So here's what I like about this. This shows that the media, the buying community, are idiots, because they're idiots, or they don't care. That's probably more like they don't care.
Right. Yeah.
And I was in this. I built a $450 million a year revenue company with 700 employees, co-built, I should say, with 700 employees. And we did this. I know all the acronyms. I made up acronyms. You know, I sold statistics. Do you remember there was a stats package early days. Maybe it was like web stats or something. It was basically a log file analyzer. Mm-hmm. And it would spit out charts, and, you know, it had early days, right? It had hits and stuff like that. And, you know, we could have just given that to our client, the advertiser, who looks to us to be smart. But instead we said, no, we give you our ASAP. What's that?
Is this advanced, a new acronym?
The Advanced Statistics Analysis Package. So we would give them the charts.
That's EGRIP, instead of regular GRIP.
Right. And we'd sit down and we'd walk them through it and explain, you know, our analysis of what all this meant. And then we could charge for it. Just handing out here's a stats page. What a loss. I actually think Todd does this pretty well, Blueberry. I'm not sure if there's only one Todd, but to actually walk through, your stats and say, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm seeing. And he has very detailed knowledge of of the download game, but he's a lone guy. You know, it's like all of this is, they were talking on a new media show that some Heather Osgood or someone's moving to impressions. 'Cause you know, we can't actually get you listens or plays or downloads. The whole thing is broken. It's 20 years later. If I hear one more person say, we're so new, it's such a new medium, right? The industry is so young. No, it's not. You've just failed at doing this over and over and over again. And there was one other thing. I didn't clip it. But they, you know, they also talk about studios, like okay, now MGM, all of a sudden the MGM of podcasting. So you have studios, which were all destroyed and swallowed up by Spotify. They were dying anyway. Their
life was prolonged.
Yes. What they call networks, and all of that. I know this because I failed at it myself. It took 10 years and we had the video bullcrap come in. It's just a complete repeat. So it's easy for me to see what's happening and to predict what will go down because, you know, obviously the next thing is we'll just make podcasts for brands. Here's the Acura RDX podcast. I mean, that's what it always devolves to. But the thing that was interesting was this is where you cannot monetize the network comes in. I actually heard someone say, well, hopefully studios/networks will be able to fund enough, you know, simple chat shows, just, you know, like we're doing, just two people on a podcast.
Yeah, I heard that.
In order to put lots of money into, you know, the long form, highly edited $150,000 producers travel all over the world podcast. Let me tell you how that's going to work out for you with your network or your studio. The people who are bringing in the money that you're then spending on the non-profitable stuff are going to get mad and are going to leave. Like, what do I need you for? I'm popular. I got my listeners. I don't need you to take my money and give it to something else that's not making money because you can go to the award show. Because that's literally what it is.
They denigrated radio a lot. And I'm sure it's not because they hate radio. They're radio people. It's because they think it's a dying medium. But the thing is, radio still makes so much money, more money than podcasting.
Well,
I mean, and like if you're saying they use the term the radioification of podcasting and how that's a bad thing. Well, I mean, if the radioification of podcasting means podcasting can actually make money. Well, that doesn't seem like it's a bad thing to me.
Well,
people talking, if you take me, there's only two forms of radio, broadcast radio. There's music and there's people talking. Those are your two things. And podcasting is people talking and that makes money. It makes lots and lots and lots of money.
Well, so here's the issue with radio. Radio, I'm hearing myself back from you. I don't know why. Do you have a fader open or something?
I don't think so.
It could just be me. It doesn't matter. One, two, two, three. There you go. We're professionals.
Is it gone?
No, I don't know what it is. It's like it might be coming through your headphones. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. I hope not.
Probably not. I don't know. It could be from me. Radio.
I'll turn you down.
Oh, that fixed it. Thank you. Radio is ruined. Radio is ruined because the audiences are ruined, which podcasting did. Now, that doesn't mean that radio is dead, not by a long shot. Radio is ubiquitous. You have radio receivers everywhere. Remember, Steve Jobs said to me, Adam, I want to build radio receivers for you. And that was the iPod. That was the whole idea, was to have one transmission protocol and then hundreds of millions of radios all around the world. Doesn't matter what device you have, it should be able to receive this signal, this RSS signal, as I say, rock solid signal. The problem with radio is, yes, it still makes oodles of money. Although if you go look at some of the companies that have consolidated, they are losing money hand over fist. They can't keep up the revenue because they have CPMs, which is diluted across the board for everybody. So it is a race to the bottom. CPMs always are. And they've stacked 20 minutes of advertising into every hour of radio. And this is exactly why podcasting in the beginning was so exciting and beautiful, because you heard voices you typically wouldn't hear, not your trained NPR voices. You heard normal people talking about normal people stuff. They weren't hurried. They weren't worried about the program director. They weren't worried about anything, about time, hitting the news at the top of the hour. In fact, I went back and I got the opening to my daily source code. Now, this was already after, probably after 6 months or maybe 9 months of episodes. But this was literally the opening of the daily source code.
Something remarkable is happening here. Radio is springing free of the regulated gatekeepers who've managed what you can hear since radio was invented. It's jumping into the hands of anyone at all with something or nothing to say.
And that was the beauty of it. You could do whatever you wanted. No gatekeepers. You don't hear anywhere like, we can make money now. We don't need you. We can make money our own. No, none of that was there. That was never, never in play. Did I fall into that trap? Of course. But that was never the original intent. And then digital media industry decided to call the podcasting space an industry. And decided to call podcasters indies. Really, that really grabs my goat. Yeah. And so when I see the Hollywood Reporter coming out with their article, podcasting will grow in 2024. So they have the opening of this article. Spurlock posted this. Going into 2024, podcasting executives. I have to pause right there. Who are these podcasting executives?
Yeah, who qualifies as a podcasting executive?
Podcasting executives remain incredibly bullish on growth in the sector, with an eye toward creating multiple revenue streams for creators and using artificial intelligence and video to expand the audience. So this is bull crap. This is utter bull crap. Artificial intelligence and video will expand the audience. There's no evidence for this other than internal research. And we went through that in the last show, how you can get the answers you want from the questions you ask. It's all biased. But let's just run down a few things here. What's happening? And for 2024, I'm going to be a little bit more direct. So first of all, podcasting is not something you monetize. Your audience that you need to grow, it's not something you have to monetize. You podcast because you have something or nothing to say. And you want to say it without anybody stopping you from saying that. You may want to say something to the Rotary Club. You may want, it's not a vocation. It's not like blogging. This is blogging started the same way. I'm going to be a blogger. I'm going to make that my career. Very few people have made that their career. Very few. It's incredibly hard. YouTube is evil. Google started their entire business by saying, don't be evil. You don't have to say that unless you know you're going to be evil. It was in their prospectus, their S1 filing document. YouTube is evil. Google killed RSS once before with Google Reader, and they came out with failed product after failed product. And it was actually, I realize now, because Tina used that, and I was talking to her about it. Said, what was it that you liked about that? She said, well, it was really a search engine because I could search for a topic, a term, and I get a bunch of, now she didn't say feeds, but she understands what they were. And she said, I get a bunch of blogs and sites that I could then subscribe to, and I could categorize them and put them into boxes. And because she was a marcom communications specialist. And she really liked that. And she could follow stuff. And she could also, if something was of no value, she could unsubscribe. But she was in total control of it. So it's important to note that she didn't have to go find stuff. Or if she found a blog, she wouldn't have to hunt. She did not hunt around for an RSS icon, or 5,000 chiclets. Subscribe with all this. She just went to her app, her reader, which was Google Reader, and searched for it and then clicked subscribe. That's very important. This is where podcasting went above and beyond blogs, because we came up with places where you could search, and that search is distributed to the apps. But Google is evil. They killed RSS once before. anybody who thinks that they are, that they're being kind to RSS, you're fooling yourself. So our struggle, I'll just call it a struggle. My fight, our struggle for 2024 is not, it's against the so-called leaders, the rulers, the authorities, the executives. It's against the power of dark worlds of platforms and the evil forces they run on. Greed, vanity, pride, and laziness. And that's where AI comes in. Learn a trade, learn a craft, learn how to edit, learn how to make a good mic sound. Go to someone, get some learning, listen to them, ask them questions. AI is not going to solve everything for you, particularly it won't make you human. It'll make you less human. And being human is one of the most beautiful things in the world. I remember when I just started on television, and I was 19 years old, and props to my first wife on this one. I was 19 years old, and I was doing half the country was watching me, and I was very nervous. I'd come out of radio. I'd never done television before. All of a sudden, I've got 12 cameras. I've got directors, assistant directors, video switchers, camera guys, lighting people. I had to make friends with everybody to understand what the director actually did. So I learned all that. And then I was trying to be as perfect as possible, not fumble a word. And my wife at the time said, "Why are you so messed up about that? It makes you human. People like it when you do that." And so I started to relax. And over the course of my career, I've learned that that is true. The more human you are, the more personal you are, the more people can identify with you. You don't have to be the perfect NPR voice in the cloud. You don't. Mm-hmm. As I said, the concept of indie podcasting, you're dead to me if you talk that way. You're a podcaster. You're a podcaster, not an indie. You're a podcaster. There is no podcasting industry. We just went through that. They didn't even say it. No, it's influencers. It's a buying community, podcasting influencers, the native audio. No one said podcasting. So they don't care. So they don't get to take the name and call you an indie in the space. Consultants, bull crap. Stay away from them. AI production, as I already said, this is not something you need in your life. Obviously, computers, and I'm not going to use AI. Obviously, it's great to have a transcript run. Is that really the generative ChatGPT-4 AI that everyone's promising us will take over the world and eat us? No. It's an algorithm. It runs. It works pretty well. It's okay. It's not great, but it's okay, and it works. Can you have your podcast summarized? Yeah, you can. You're still going to have to look at it. It's like a dishwasher. Dishwashers, they seem like they're really a good deal, but you're handling the dishes twice. You're rinsing it off, putting it in, and you're drying them off, with the last remnants when you take it out and putting it away. You could do it all in one fell swoop. So AI is the dishwasher of Silicon Valley. There you go.
This is an interesting line of thinking. I'm just sitting here listening to you talk about this, and last night, I listened to this podcast called The Lord of Spirits.
I've subscribed to those guys.
Yeah, I sent you a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couple of Greek Orthodox priests who just kind of, chew the fat about biblical topics and ancient faith. All sorts of flotsam and jetsam. And they discuss all kinds of things. Very, very knowledgeable people. And it veers off often into other topics. But so there is this episode. Let me see if I can find the title.
While you're finding that, I just want to respond. Midas, yes, your dishwasher cleans and dries really well. You're still handling the plates twice. You put them in, you take them out. Where it could go in one fell swoop and you're done for the night. Nothing to do in the morning.
Let's see, where is it?
I'm sorry. He says, our dishwasher cleans and dries really well, but I buy her flowers often. Wow. Wow.
Well,
there was a punchline. Shaggy dog. Well played, sir.
Yeah. Enjoy your new year. Yeah. Tell me how the couch is. Let's see. Where am I? I can't find that. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's the art and science. The name of this episode is The Art and Science of Technomancy. So technomancy is an interesting word. This is about, this episode is about technology. And so, you know, it was like last year I read the book, The Technological Society by Jacques Ellul. Mm-hmm. And one thing what he said in that book mates up really well with what they were talking about in this episode. And because he talks in that book about how technology, we think of it today, in terms, when we hear the word technology, we think of electronics primarily. But mostly it's mechanical, physical technology, mm-hmm. in some sense. But the definition of technology really is anytime you apply technique to solve for a problem.
Right.
Or to effectuate outcomes that are determined by you, the person who's employing technique. Mm. And so in that sense, technology is just a form of knowledge. So they discuss this and it's like, well, you know, there's different types of knowledge. There's moral knowledge. There's ability to reason morally and say, this is a good thing. This is a bad thing. There's philosophical knowledge. There is emotional knowledge, like the knowledge of loving relationships, things like this. There's all different forms of knowledge and many words to describe these forms of knowledge. And technos is just another technology. Technological knowledge is just another form of knowledge. And so so if you look at all these two things, one of the primary pre-industrial forms of technology was spiritual technology, what you may even call magic.
Ooh.
You know, so this spiritual technology are things like, you know, some sort of incantation or ceremony or liturgical process or even certain types of theological knowledge, theological theories about atonement and these things like that, where you plug in a formula and you get out this thing. So you may pray to a God, and that God is then bound to answer your prayer in some specific way, as long as you do the process or the ceremony correctly. Mm. Or you sacrifice in a certain way and this affects some outcome. And this was this was normal. This was just a typical thing that humanity did. And we like to think that we have this sort of myth of the progress of human, you know, society, as if, you know, we were old and, you know, as if older generations were dumber or somehow less informed. And we've been on this slow march forward, this ascent of knowledge and intellect for thousands of years, when really it doesn't work that way at all. There's no slow linear progress forward in anything in humanity. It's a big shit show of ups and downs and yes. Forwards and backwards.
Yes.
And what we've got now, as far as I'm concerned, is a return of sort of spiritual technomancy. AI, in terms of what you were talking, in the context of what you were talking about, it's a form of conjuring.
Yes.
Where you're trying to say, okay, I want to develop a way to conjure material out of thin air so that I look better, I don't have to work as hard. It's a sort of magic in that sense. We've returned to spiritual technology because AI is just as fuzzy as any sort of incantation or spiritual ceremony might be. You don't know what you're going to get. You think you're going to get something. If you do it the right way, you think, okay, well, the outcome is going to be predictable. But that spirit that you just conjured, it could aid you in your endeavors, or it could eat you. You don't actually know.
Well, first of all, the moniker AI is just wrong. I mean, I have a Rodecaster. You can call the processing that it does AI. I understand what it's. I can create a noise gate from a competing limiter and compressor. I know how to do it. I understand it. I've done it with tube products. I understand what it is, and it's been baked into a tool. This is very old technology. You want to call that AI? Fine, call it AI. But when I try to fix some audio. I'll just throw it in the Adobe thing. No, I go back to filtering and doing because it can't do it. It doesn't give me the predictable results. Learn the art. It's an art. Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to learn how to do images, you could create it with some words in a generator. It's great, but I see it. You know, it's not really fooling me. It's like, okay, it kind of looks what it is, and y'all look like you came from the same school of art. Or schools of art. So learn how to do this. Get an apprenticeship with somebody. Hey, say, can I watch you do this? Can I see how you do it?
You plug in a bunch of prompts to you plug in a bunch of wording to Stable Diffusion or what's the other thing? The other big image generator thing.
DALL-E.
Yeah, you plug in a bunch of stuff to that, and it gives you something crazy that you didn't expect. And the AI advocates, they'll just say, "Well, your prompts weren't right."
Well, go to
we didn't word it correctly because your incantation was wrong. You said one of your words wrong.
Yeah, go back. Go to the noagendaartgenerator.com. Go back 20 pages, and you'll see when these things came into play. And yeah, we choose some of them, but in general, the art has gone downhill. Because it's all kind of the same thing. It kind of has the same look. And, you know, the true artists, hopefully they come through. I think they're even discouraged from time to time. They don't even upload anymore because, you know, this AI stuff and everyone's faster than I am. And, you know, so it's reductive. It's reductive in my world.
Mid-Journey. That's what I was thinking. All mid-journey. That Mid-Journey stuff looks identical.
Charts and rankers are bullcrap. This is not the world of tomorrow. It's not even the world of today. It's a dying world that it doesn't matter. Any Joe Rogan, biggest podcaster in the world, he's 5% of everything. 5%. And you don't need to be number one anymore. Our little project here surviving just perfectly on a couple thousand people who support it. We don't need to be number one of iTunes. We don't need iTunes promotion. We don't need to be. We have the worst searchable name in the universe, Podcasting 2.0. Whoever came up with that stupidity. You know, you can't SEO it. It's stupid. Now, DAI, DAI, the inserted advertising. Go ahead. It's a race to the bottom. That's radiofication. But you know what it is? It's bad for podcasting. It's bad because people see their apps as the platform and they're blaming the apps. They're blaming the apps for the ads that you're putting into your podcast as a pre-roll. Discovery is bullcrap. That's not how people discover podcast. We don't need algos, and you don't need to be in the YouTube with the funny little links and everything. If you think that's how you're going to get discovered and how you'll build an audience of people that are interested in your topic, you're fooling yourself. You don't need that. Those proclaiming YouTube is the way in the future are Satan's helpers. I mean this. It's bad. You're a podcaster. You have a feed that's your source of truth that is under your control. We have an entire ecosystem over 20 years. Your children aren't even that old. 20 years who have built this ecosystem for you to use very cost efficiently. God bless those who have created podcast companies and the new ones who are coming in who are 2.0 native and the ones who are catching up. God bless you all, because you have created, you truly have created the tools that we need. And you continue to retool over and over again. It's not easy, this stuff. Now, can the beauty of podcasting and your feed is you can host it on your own little server somewhere. You can write it with a notepad. That's what makes podcasting great. You can't do that with YouTube. So when you think that YouTube is taking your feed and greatest, and the YouTube music app is the best podcast app out there, you are Satan's helper. Go away.
We have an actual Satanist who donates to the show. We could ask, he would probably concur.
Who was that?
The Trevor guy from Australia. Oh. He gives us $5 a month.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Satan.
Yes. Let us know if Satan is in favor of giving RSS to Google and YouTube.
So here's what no one talks about is the interactivity. This is where podcasting differentiates from radio. We have tools. We have ways to let the audience be a part of the programming. And quite honestly, you need to do that. The reason why radio is so expensive is because you can't just have everybody producing. It doesn't work that way. The system's not set up. But if you want people to create artwork for you, if you want people to create, you know, sound things for you, if they want them to create chapters or even just boostograms, that's being an integral part of the programming. That is what the value for value model has shown. Non-traditional revenue. Now, obviously, I believe in value for value because we have two families who for 16 years have put children through schools. We're happy individuals. We have nice lives. We have two cars per family. We have roofs over our head. And no matter what the ups and downs, it's pretty consistent at the end of the year. We did it again. We'll do it again. It works, but it's not something that you start overnight. And I've started building value. Oh, where's my money? How come I can't live on this? It took me years. I sold stuff. I ate my airplane. I mean, I did everything I could. I had to scam around for health insurance. One of our producers actually gave me health insurance from 2015. No, from 2012 to 2015. Helped me on his company's health insurance. You know, this is what an interactive audience does. If you have, here's clue, an outstanding product. Just because you're there doesn't mean that anyone cares about you. Mm-hmm. But you can start with two people, and then those two people will tell other people about it. That's how it works. Discovery, the way it's thought of traditionally by the media roundtable people, is not applicable. Something that, now I'm not against advertising. I'm not against selling products. We have, in the NTR category, we obviously have value for value streaming Satoshis. Please, we've overlooked, boostograms have become such a thing, even for me. People are now seeing like, hey, wait a minute, somebody's streaming me 200 sats a minute. That adds up. It really adds up and it's good.
Yeah, it does. It does. We need to start figuring out, we need to figure out a way to highlight that better on the show.
Well, it's also a way for it to be easier for people to see it and calculate it. You know, that's a part of it. Cause all stats packages, helipad included, are kind of built for just seeing what the boostograms are, and you can output stuff for that. I believe, direct response, what is it called? I forget the other term. When call to action, I believe that works. So forget the counting of downloads. No advertiser is going to care about that in 2024 anymore. They're onto it. The media buyers are not going to stand in front of their clients and say, "Oh yeah, these people listen to it," because it's all over the media. Everybody knows it. Anyone who was in on the brand side is going to say, "How do you know they actually listen to it? Can you prove?" They're gonna get in your face about it, because the other, and even for YouTube and TikTok, it's very fuzzy. You know, what is a view? Well, it's 30 seconds, 1 minute. So was my ad listened to? I don't know. But if you want to be a podcaster who has people support your program, you say, listen, this is brought to you by Geek Vape. I want you to pause right now and click on the picture that you see in your app. It'll take you to geekvape.com. That's all you need. And we can do that with chapters. There's a space for a link there. It doesn't just have to be a picture only. Go back later and go into the chapters and find the picture of the Geek Vape and click on it and then go check it out. See if you want to buy it. You can get compensated for the person going there and you can get compensated for somebody buying something.
And that, you have cloud chapters, the ability to update in real time without having to touch the audio.
It can update later on. I mean, all of, if they change the product, all of that is totally possible. And it's honest.
You don't need tracking pixels because you're going to the site. It's direct response.
Yes. Yeah. Direct response. So I believe in that. That works. Now,
yeah, I agree.
Now I'm going to wind up this wrap. So again, YouTube is evil for podcasting. It's fine for whatever it wants to be. Stay away from it. We do video just fine. If you think that that's what you need to do, I don't believe so. I think, and I like Skye's take on that. She says, what is it? Her heart breaks every little time, a little more every single time someone says that podcasting is YouTube videos or whatever. Right. We have a couple of really awesome things that are happening right now. Podrolls is a great mechanism for your quote unquote discovery. We need to surface them. We need to show these in the podcast apps. I believe Boostergrams are another great way. I'm not sure what the way is or how we're supposed to do that yet, but I'm not developing an app and other people are much, much more creative and smarter than I am. Think about that. And now, what I saw happen this past week, my socks are blown off when I saw that I could search for MoFax with Adam Curry on my own. I have a secret little mastodon. And up popped the feed, the item MoFax with Adam Curry, which has an index ID. And somehow through the magic of the Federation, which I think means someone already, if someone hasn't already sought for it and followed it or something, it won't show up in the Fediverse. But once it has, it showed up and I could follow it. And you, my friend, are a wizard.
You want to get into that? You want to go through it?
Yes, please. Because it's
progress this week. Lots of dynamite. Let's see. I guess I'll start this by saying, if you're building anything, if you're building any sort of ActivityPub software, and you want to stress test it, just make a post and reference an account. So like, just make accounts on Mastodon accounts on ActivityPub are actors. I'm just going to use that term. If you have an account, you are an actor. And so my actor on the Fediverse is Dave at Dave at podcastindex.social. Mm-hmm. So that's my actor. When I interact with other servers, other accounts, anything else on the Fediverse, that's who I am. So if you want to stress test any of your software, just make a reference back to your software as an actor and you will get slaughtered with traffic. I mean, so I made the mistake of asking for some beta testers. You know, like, hey, things are working. Try to follow our show. So the way this is set up right now is there's a server running this software. Let's just call it the Podcast Index podcasting to ActivityPub bridge. Let's just call it that. This software is running on a server called AP, ActivityPub.podcastindex.org. So that's the bridge. And basically, the bridge just converts a podcast into an actor on demand. So if there's a podcast that's never existed, that you want to follow, in your Mastodon or your Pleroma or whatever Activity Pub software you use, if you want to follow that podcast for now, and this is something we need to discuss, so we'll get into this. For now, the way that it works is the podcast index ID at ap.podcastindex.org. So our podcast index ID for this show is 920666. Mm-hmm. So if you follow at 920666 at ap.podcastindex.org, that is the Activity Pub actor for this show. What that means is, what's happening behind the scenes when you do that, you're querying the Activity Pub bridge for the actor. It gets the data from the podcast index and then hands it back to the bridge. The bridge then gives back the metadata about the show through Webfinger appropriately, and then gives its full actor object back to the requesting server. So your private Mastodon server asked for our show, mm-hmm. or asked for MoFax, whichever one it was you were looking for. Asked for MoFax. It gave back the data, the profile data. You said follow. So then your Mastodon instance sent a request to the bridge to follow, giving it your actor ID and your private Mastodon's shared inbox URL.
Right.
So we take that, and so that under the covers, the ActivityPub bridge is using SQLite database. So there's a table in there, a followers table. It requested a follow. The bridge verified all the data, that it all made sense and was sane, and then sent back an accept acknowledgement saying, yeah, cool, now you're following now. And then inserted a record in the data in the followers table for that show that you're following, your actor ID and your shared inbox URL. So now the ActivityPub bridge knows that if a show ever updates, you want to be notified about it. And the one cool thing about ActivityPub is this notion of a shared inbox on a server lessens the traffic load. So if 400 people on the podcastindex.social Mastodon follow at one show, we don't have to send 400 posts every right. time the show updates. We just right. send it once to the shared inbox URL, and then podcastindex.social sees all the followers and distributes it accordingly. So it really is very traffic efficient in that way.
One quick note, just to put slip in a tab. Mm-hmm. When I followed MoFax with Adam Curry on my own Mastodon, my private Mastodon server, it brought it up because, of course, I'm federated. So, you know, it knew about it already because I had already, someone else already followed it. So it was before I even followed it on podcastindex.social. And it brings it up, but it doesn't bring up at least, it would be great if it brought up one episode. It brings it up clean.
This is a limitation of Mastodon.
Ah, okay.
Because Mastodon, this is what we talked about a couple of weeks, two or three weeks ago. In ActivityPub world, there is this notion of an outbox. And the outbox is everything you've ever posted. So if you go to the outbox for MoFax ActivityPub on the ActivityPub bridge, if you go to the outbox, you'll see all the previous episodes as posts. Mm-hmm. But Mastodon will not show you the outbox of a remote actor. It will only show you the posts that have previously been sent to the shared inbox URL. Mm. So if it doesn't have a cached copy of a post from that show, right. it won't show you.
Here's a weird question. Okay. If I podpinged MoFax right now, would that trigger that an episode updating through the Mastodon AP bridge?
No.
Oh.
So what? Okay. So this the interactions here took a lot took a lot of time for me to understand because it's not intuitive. Imagine a clean, let me describe this. Okay, so imagine that your Mastodon, so your private Mastodon server, had never followed the MoFax show.
Right.
Nobody on your server had ever done anything.
Well, I don't have to imagine it because that's true.
Okay, all right. What normally happens in that case is you follow it. Initially, the profile will be blank. So when you pull it up, your Mastodon server has no previous posts that it knows about.
Right.
And it will initially show that there's been, it will show no previous history. Mm-hmm. You hit follow, and then that puts MoFax into the database.
Okay.
If nobody has ever followed that show before, then what happens is on the next cycle, which is every 60 seconds, it will check the podcast index to see what the current latest episode is. And if it finds one, if it grabs one, it will then post it as a new post to your server.
Okay. So an actual new episode has to come out for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So you will see the next one.
Got it.
When it posts. Going forward, the next person on your server who follows that will see any posts that have accumulated. So your Mastodon server going forward will begin to get those posts. Then when somebody goes and looks at the profile, they'll see all that previous stuff. It'll be like a filled in profile.
Oh, so that will happen.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
It begins to fill things in as it goes.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a little aggravating because the outbox thing is right there. It could, and there's a big thread on the GitHub issues for Mastodon with people begging for them to backfill the outbox.
I understand. Yeah, because when you click on the way Mastodon works, when you click on the full older posts from other, it says if you want browse more on the original profile at the bottom, when you click that, it just gives you, code.
Yeah.
Gives you JSON.
So, yeah. I don't know if you see this, and Eric PP posted a link to the outbox for MoFax. And if you go and check that JSON out, what you'll see is all these are all the previous episodes.
Yes, 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 I see it. Yep.
It would be very easy for a Mastodon server to just look at this and just pull it in, but they don't. Huh. So that is what it is. The thing you're talking about where you click on the more, more on this profile. Mm-hmm. So one thing that Mastodon does, I don't know about other ActivityPub servers. I think they probably do something similar, but for sure Mastodon does this, is it uses what's called the accept header in the HTTP request. So if I request the actor's URL, so in this case, podcastindex.social/, Dave, mm-hmm. /@Dave, then, or user/@Dave, I can't remember. If I request that and my accept header is set to activity/JSON as the MIME type, I'm going to get back the JSON. If it's set to text HTML, I'm going to get an HTML, a nice pretty HTML rendered page.
Okay.
So I don't have the HTML part of the bridge built, and I'm not sure that I'm even going to, because what I think may need to happen is those requests probably need to get forwarded to the podcast index website for an HTML request. Like if you're wanting the HTML of a show, you probably need to end up on the website.
Right.
Not in a weird other.
Or website. I mean, you already have the web. You already have the website in there. I mean, you have, I like the joined. I like that field showing up. So for MoFax, it shows joined November 8th, 2023. Oh, that's just when it joined. Okay. It has the index page and has the website taken from the feed and the podcast GUID.
Yeah. And you can put in, you can put anything in here that needs to be in here. Like you can stack up. These are just key value pairs. So if we want to put other stuff in there, we can.
So what I love about this, what is so logical is I will now, I will post my feed, update my feed. Then I'll go to the Mastodon and I will boost the post of that episode and use that, that URL as my base URL for comments.
For social interact.
For social interact, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And yeah, you're seeing my, you're seeing what I'm thinking.
Totally, totally seeing it.
Okay. So you one bet. Thing, yeah. So this is working well. I worked with, Alex to make sure that everything was kosher with Pleroma. And so the, Pleroma is working as well. If anybody is using other software besides Pleroma and Mastodon, check this out for me and do in bug report so that we can get these things fixed. Most of the problems come down to JSON deserialization problems.
Yeah, because I hate it when that happens. The deserialization always bites me in the ass.
It does. It's an ass biter. So you know, everything is just JSON. The ActivityPub is just pushing JSON around everywhere. And the good thing about Rust is it has wonderful JSON deserialization module called Serity that is amazing. And it's good, but it does take a lot of fiddling to get these things correct. So we need to just make sure that all of these things are, all of these different types of software are playing nice. Now, the thing that I did last night, and I was up late last night till like 1 in the morning.
And you kept restarting your stream or something. It's like a million. Dave's yeah. going live again. Dave's yeah, still not sleeping. He's live again.
I was so close. And so this is interesting. You know, we went back and forth a little bit about this JB55 on Noster. He's the guy that writes Domus.
Yeah.
And he made a post or a series, a lot of posts yesterday about basically how Domus is just bleeding money. And this is probably the end of the road for 2024 is probably going to be the last year for Domus.
Mm. At least for his development. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because it's just not, it's not financially sustainable.
I did send him 100,000 zap and said, consider this. Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. He actually replied. He said, I love that about no agenda. I'll consider it. It's like, oh, please, oh, man. Well, yeah. There you go. All right.
Well, so the Noster, so another post that he made that was interesting was that Noster is, from what he said, is about 10,000 users. And about 50% of those he estimates are on Domus.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right.
Yeah, so if Domus disappears, 50% of Noster disappears, and many of them probably will not come back. They'll just bail back to Twitter.
You know what's funny? Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
A lot of the development discussion about Noster happens on Telegram. That tells you something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That tells you something.
That is pretty interesting. The only reason I bring this up is that last night I saw him posting that he was doing a whole bunch of stuff with NosterDB, like a bunch of like low level.
Oh yeah. He's building a huge database to circumvent the whole, relay going away issue.
And so, it was interesting because you're like, in the one hand you post, you know, this software is going to die. I can't sustain it. But then you spend hours doing low level coding on this product that's you know aimed for the grave. And I think it's because like like me, he's addicted to interop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, this is a thing. People get addicted to interop, and I'm one of those people. So if I go back to 25-year-old Dave,
Hold on a second. If you're gonna do that, let's do it properly.
Oh, time machine.
Here we go. Going back in time to 24-year-old Dave.
24-year-old Dave was deep into assembly language and discovering the joy of networking for the first time. And the first time that you are able to bring up a TCP socket and send a message from one computer across the LAN to another computer and have it show up, it's orgasmic. I cannot explain the joy that you feel when you see that you've got this one machine playing by these rules, and you've got another machine playing by a common set of rules, and you send, it's like teleporting. You send something in through this side and it pops out the wormhole on the other side.
Oh, that's like boostograms for me.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's like, I can do it on this thing and it shows up over there on a complete different thing. And we didn't even know who we were.
That was being addicted to interop was what created the internet. It's why people like Dave Weiner got so addicted to internet technology, is because it's just all an expression of interop. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun. And even if you know that your product is basically doomed, you're doing it because you're addicted to that. You're not addicted to the product. You're addicted to the experience of it and the experience of creating it. And so this is why I was up till like 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I couldn't stop because I was so close to getting.
Wait, are you back? You're back in the future now?
Yes, I've traveled.
Are you ready?
From this day forward,
we're going back to the future.
It's going to be only America first.
I don't know what
America
this is.
First.
Sorry, I didn't expect it to be that. Thought it was a different time machine. We're in a weird dimension.
Did we go through?
We're in a weird dimension now.
Yeah, we popped out. Okay. So back. If I was so close to getting Podping working,
I feel you. I feel you.
Because obviously what you want, the new episode posting, that was working fine. You post a new episode, shows up as a post on Mastodon or on ActivityPub. Mm. No problem. Now, it's not complete without live, right? I mean, if your podcast goes live, you really want to know about it. And one place you really want to know about it is we want to know about it on Mastodon.
Of course.
On social media. So this required work.
Right.
The initial structure of this is working now.
I love it so much. I mean, you basically built the world's biggest podcast app.
I never thought about it like that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So if you look on, let's see if I can retoot this. Yeah, I just did. Okay, so on podcastindex.so. So I just reposted what I got when we went live earlier.
Okay.
And it's, so the way it works is it's using John Spurlock's Podping WebSocket. And so he has a WebSocket where he publishes every Podping event that happens as it comes in. So I'm just the ActivityPub bridge is connecting to his WebSocket and then watching for Podpings. When the Podpings come through, it looks for looks and sees if it's got a reason code of live. If there's one that does, it sees if it, what it does is it takes that URL, because Podpings is just URLs, takes that URL, does a call to the index to the live by feed URL endpoint, and checks if the status is live.
So what is this account? So the I can one follow that I just,
No, it's just at 920666 at ap.podcastindex.org.
So it's our show. It's our show. Okay. Account. Right. Yeah. I gotcha.
And so if it's live, if it's got a live show that's going on right now in relation to the Podping that it saw, it then sends out a new post from that account to all the followers saying, you know, Podcasting 2.0 episode 161 is live now, and a link to listen to the live stream with album art. So we got that working finally this morning, a little before I went to the office, and then Alex helped me double check that the media attachments were working for the album art. So that's all working now. So basically the basics of the ActivityPub bridge are functional. It will post new episodes and it will post when
the feed goes live.
Yes.
So as I said, you just built the world's biggest podcast app. You really did.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like a bunch of pieces. It's like a skeleton of an app that's spread out all over the place.
Mastodon is an app, but now anybody can create an app and use ActivityPub, if I'm just following along here, as their connection to the index. Hence the fedification of the index. So you're not hitting our API directly, but you're getting the same data for shows that are subscribed to.
Right. You could say that it's kind of like, it's kind of like Podping in the sense that it becomes, if you follow shows this way, and this apps can follow shows as well as people. Like if you follow shows in this way, it becomes push instead of pull.
Right. But Podping and RSS feed are all on the published side. Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's all. I mean, and of course anybody can circumvent the index by using Podping, at least for those shows that, you know, you don't have to poll. But it makes, my head is like, I almost want to open up a whole new private Mastodon just for podcasts now.
Well,
we need a hashtag. We need a hashtag to flow along with this so I can filter it. Oh, yeah,
that's cool.
So I can filter it.
Yeah. What does the hashtag need? We've got some things to talk about. What does the hashtag need to be?
Podcast hashtag podcast index.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Podcast bridge hashtag podcast bridge.
That could work. We can always change it later if we've come up with something else.
Let me see if I don't think that's
something you can filter on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not being used that I can see, of course, in the stuff that I've got.
Well, so one of the things that I want to do, and I want you to give me your advice here, is that right now it just gives a link to the episode, which is fine, but you know, clearly I feel like it needs to have links to the apps.
Yes. So
it needs to have links to, like, you know, Podverse, Podcast Guru, Fountain.
Native links.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Native links. So that because people don't.
Chicklets. You might see, we need chicklets. Chicklets.
Chicklets.
Chicklets. Chicklets.
Well,
sure.
I mean, I think that needs to be on there because, like, it's if you're in a pinch and you have to listen to it, because all it's going to do right now is it's going to open up a web browser.
Open up an MP3 file in a web browser. Sure.
And that's kind of lame. I mean, like, no, you don't. You're going to lose that position. It's just not a good experience.
Is that something that you could set or configure yourself so that it has those links that you want? I'm not sure. I'm just shooting around. I'm not sure if that's possible.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would be possible. Yeah, the interaction to get that set up would be a little awkward. You'd have to interact with it as some sort of bot. You know, where you like send it, you know, hey, here's what I want. And it's sort of records that in some way. I think we could probably over time we could figure that out. But I guess I would ask that the app developers send me documentation on how you generate your links.
One other thing I'm just going to mention real quick. Album art is not changing. For whatever reason.
On what?
So if you go to No Agenda, 41504, but you can just search No Agenda. It's already in there. I have two episodes, 1619, which is the one with Santa Claus with the naughty and nice list. And then 1620, which had a different, which also has the Santa Claus. And the profile image is also still the Santa Claus. And it should be a poop emoji with the recycle arrows around it.
Okay, so that's let me see what
I don't know if that's caching or
it probably is. Yeah, the caching, Mastodon caches the hell out of everything. I'll probably need to put that on the bug list to figure out if there's a way to invalidate the cache and make it pull a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric PP says the bridge has the new art, so it's Mastodon that's caching.
Okay, because I followed it on my private server, and even though I don't have a post there because I just subscribed to it, it does have the new art as the profile art.
Okay, Nathan says he has some tricks up his sleeve to fix that problem. Okay,
cool.
With Podlink, he's talking about the links.
Can I just stop you for a second?
Okay. Yeah, sure,
brother. What a great job you've done here. I'm so excited by this. I too am excited by interop. Because to me it's broadcasting. You know, it's like, oh, look, another huge radio just appeared. Look at this massive radio that now everybody can follow my shows in and they'll be notified. They can click the alarm bell. It can pop up. There's apps for it. I mean, obviously we have a way to go. But even the notification system by itself is cool. And the fact that the comments will show up under these posts, under the profile, that's sexy. That whole thing is sexy. Thank you so much for putting that work in, man. That's great. And thank you to Alex and, Spurlock and everybody else who helped you.
Yeah. Thank you. First of all. And then, you know, I think this is the beginning of
the end
of the bridging thing that we talked about. And, you know, this is how we begin to decentralize. And if apps begin to interact, so I feel like we need to exemplify what it means to be able to interop. So APIs are fine, but public bridging is ActivityPub has shown that it's better. I mean, it is better. It's
broad. It's supported. Yeah. It's battle tested. It's been out there a long time. Luckily, we now know, thanks to our friends over there from the right wing hackers. We know how to go past blocks. See that article? Yeah, you sent it to me. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you just sign it with a different domain. Yeah. Problem solved.
Hilarious.
So, the code I will put live here in the next couple of days, public. I will make it public in the repo. It's got a key. The only thing keeping me from doing it is I was lazy and I hard coded the podcast index API tokens into the code. So I just need to pull that out.
Yeah. You might want to pull that out.
Yeah. Pull that out, put it in an environment variable, and then I'll open it up and people can go nuts.
So run
your own bridge.
Here's the immediate question I have. So right now, if I'm searching for a show, let me just say, I'll do DH unplugged. Hold on. Let me do that on the podcast index. Let me see. DH unplugged. So that doesn't show up. So in order to get that, I have to know the index ID in order to add that to, you know, so it'll be at index ID at ap.podcastindex.org. Is there an easier way, or have you already architected in your mind how we fix that? How can I search and get that ID if no one has followed it? It hasn't fedified. It hasn't flipped around for a bit. So that's just, it's not in the database anywhere.
Yeah. And that's the biggest issue right now. I haven't figured out.
Oh, I know how. I know how.
Okay.
You surface a link on the index page.
Oh, link to the account, the bridge account.
Yeah. I can search for it on podcastindex.org and then just click the link and it'll take me, or just copy the link if I want. But just click the link and it will take me to my Mastodon account, supposedly. And I just click follow.
See, I've gone back and forth about this in my head because on the one hand, our show's account is 920666. I mean, that's unintelligible nonsense. But on the other hand, if you were to come up with some other means of naming the actor, so let's just say that it was podcasting20@ap.podcastindex.org. That may work for us, but what about shows with complex names? I mean,
yes,
a show that's like, I mean, some of these like Spanish shows from AVUX, I mean, God, that's a paragraph. Yeah.
With number five under the C and stuff like that. That's no good. I don't even know how to make that on my keyboard.
Yeah, no, I don't have the ANSI layout for this or whatever this is.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if it matters.
I don't think it matters at all. Honestly, I really don't. You don't even know if you're slash Dave or slash user slash Dave, because no one thinks of it that way. It's just, I search for Dave and it pops up a bunch of Daves and I click that Dave.
Yeah.
Now that's interesting. Yeah. So if I do, so when I search and I just search for no agenda, you know, up pops, it actually takes a bit. It's, Dame Jennifer animated, no agenda, Micah Miller, no idea why. And then it says no agenda. And if I hover it, it says 41504 at ap.podcast. The ap.podcastindex.org tells me what's inside the can.
It's got us the label.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I see what you mean about the Santa
Just
Claus
to make
show
it simple,
art. That
because
needs to be invalidated.
I mean, we all have to, yeah, that's one thing, but we all have to, I mean, shows will start to populate the Fediverse as people start to follow them. So I would love to build up my list just for the experience, just to see, you know, what it's like and how that works in Dave's podcast app. And, and of course, I think having links to your favorite podcast player is a must. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I'm pretty sure that for most of those apps, if I'm mobile and I hit it, it'll open up the app. Or my Android phone knows how to do that. My Graphene OS says, "Oh, it's Podverse. Okay, I'll open up the app." It knows how to do that.
Nathan linked a GitHub repo where he's got a bunch of research on how to generate the different podcast app links.
Oh, cool!
So I'll look into that. He's going to email that to me. I'll look into that and see if I can't come up with a quick way to do that right off the bat. And the other thing is if it's video. Like if it's a no agenda tube show and somebody, you know, goes live with video, then it needs to be able to open up in a way that you can see it, not just hear it clearly. So that, you know, it's, I think we're the basics of what we're trying to do are there. There's a few question marks about what the IDs need to be. Like you said, either the podcast index IDs or what Nathan said is, are they GUIDs? Are they, you know, are they some munging of the name? Who knows? I mean, I think all that's probably not that big of a deal. It's pretty squishy since this is a bridge, but other people, the other thing is that of this is other people can run bridges if they want to.
Right.
So all this is, the basic structure of this code is the same old framework that runs Helipad and Podping.cloud and MKUltra. It's the same code.
Love it. So that's, you know, there's my next thing is, if I so choose, how do I get my boostograms to show up under each episode?
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
That's another bridge, mm-hmm. right? I should be able to bridge from my node to an account or somehow, or whether I'm replying or whatever it is, I should be able to put that under there.
Well, that could be something to put into Helipad. It could be something to put in Helipad so that you give. So what Helipad could do is see the episode.
Yeah, it knows the account. It knows the episode. Say, okay, I'm going to post to AP to the Activity Pub. I'm going to post to that episode, post these boostograms.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. The structure of a status, or what you know as a toot, in Mastodon parlance, it's a status or a note in ActivityPub world that has an ID as well. And the ID is just a URL that links to the links directly to the post. Mm-hmm. So it's a permalink. Mm-hmm. And the permalink for these takes the form of the ap.podcastindex.org/the actor's ID as a parameter and the episode GUID as a parameter.
Right.
So if the episode GUID is coming through in the TLV,
yep,
then Helipad should be, and other software should be able to look at the feed ID in the episode GUID and construct what the post ID is, and then do a reply in reply to what's in ActivityPub parlance is called an in reply to property. And so you could just post the boostogram and set that episode ID as the in reply to field, and it should show up as a reply under the thread where
right.
the post is the parent.
So Eric PP already posted in the boardroom. Yep, add a webhook thing to Helipad. Yeah, that's the technical term. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what you just said, a webhook thing.
Yeah, webhook thing.
Webhook thing to Helipad. Man, I'm so excited by this.
Yes, I think we're cooking here.
One question. So, but right. If more people run bridges, what is the advantage?
The advantage for now is just decentralization. You know,
it's the same thing. Basically, you're running a bridge. Explain it to me. Tell me
if somebody blocks the right now, Moster is the only bridge that bridges ActivityPub to Noster. And if somebody blocks that bridge, you're toast. You can't get any posts from one side to the other. But if there's 15 different bridges, we just flip to a different bridge. So like there's no way to guarantee it. Guarantee that nobody ever blocks any of the, you know,
right.
Somebody could just be a cat and mouse game and just always be blocking bridges. But
well, those people hate life who do that. If you're blocking podcast bridges, you hate yourself. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's Satan's helper. And like, so if you could run your own bridge, and then keep it quiet. Like you run your own private Mastodon. Yeah. You could run your own private bridge if you were so inclined for you and a group of people.
Of course.
And then, you know, so it's just having that software out there, having that software out there and the ability to have multiple bridges, I think just gives a little bit of, it gives insurance.
So Nathan G asked correctly, if there's multiple bridges, would a user search for MoFax get multiple results? I guess the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
But you can subscribe to the bridge of your choice.
Yeah. Just like if you had, if I have multiple accounts, multiple Ad Dave accounts on different Mastodon instances, they would show up. Yeah.
So you could always do your search would be MoFax AP or Podcast Index, and it would probably parse through it and find the right one. Or if I didn't want my own search, I would do MoFax Adam's private bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are cooking. We're cooking with propane. Sterno.
Sterno. Is that like the camping thing?
Yes, I love Sterno.
Alcohol jelly? Is that what Sterno is?
Yeah, you can drink it. Then it's called Thunderbird.
Mad Dog 2020.
That's right.
Okay, well, I think I think that's pretty much the basics. And
wow, that's so cool.
The other thing that I would like to happen with this, and I'm committing myself to do this right now, is in the near future, in January, at some point in January, I'm going to write an explainer and go through the basics of what the bridge is doing, but with the aim of explaining ActivityPub to podcast developers, because it's actually an extremely simple protocol. If you get started with ActivityPub, what most people do is Google around for the spec. And when you see the spec, you're like, oh crap, because it just looks like nonsense. And it's like, you know, pages and pages and pages of stuff. But if you boil it all down, the basics are extremely simple. And really, an ActivityPub server can ActivityPub server and with only like three endpoints that deliver JSON. That's all you need. So it's actually an extremely simple protocol and very easy to understand conceptually if somebody explains it to you correctly.
Now,
I'm going to do that.
How do the app devs, is this something they even need to think about? Is there reasons for them to start looking at this? If so, what? If not, end?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, I think so, because ActivityPub is the open source. It's now settled. I'm going to say it is settled. ActivityPub is the king of open source commenting protocols. And remember, we're not talking about chat. We're talking about commenting and activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the king of those protocols. And I think it makes a lot of sense for podcast apps to be able to pull in this data, the data that's happening around podcasts that their users listen to in a native way, so that they don't have to depend on sort of like web views and all these weird things. So if they speak a little bit of ActivityPub natively, they can do some really fun stuff. So I think that's sort of my goal with the explainer, is to show go through the code of the bridge, and then just boil it all down to a few simple ideas and hopefully get everybody's juices flowing so they can interact.
So let me squeeze your creative fruit.
No.
You're now Ainsley Costello. Then there's apps that have your music, and how do you use this with ActivityPub / Mastodon? Can you use this, or what do you need extra to build your community around your music?
I think you have it. I mean, like you, this is, we talked about this before where you had this idea where the musicians are like, where do we send people? Like where do people go to interact with music that gets posted? Now the music, it just posts itself.
And so really, you want your own Mastodon server for $8 a month.
Yeah.
And so you want to send people to mastodon.ainsleycostello.com, then people can, you know, and you have your songs already there, right? You have your, you've already preloaded them.
Pre-followed everything.
Pre-followed everything. So it all shows up. And then you show up underneath your song saying, here's how I made the song, or I mean, stuff like that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, stuff like that. Or somebody can grab the code once I post it and create a music specific bridge.
Stop it, Stephen B. Not yet. The code's not up yet. Slow down.
Back
slow
off.
Down.
Stand
slow
down.
Down.
Stand down. So yeah, we could, you know, you'd a music specific bridge.
Wow.
Where it's artist focused for some reason. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing.
We don't know. We don't know. All the possibilities are out there. This is dynamite, brother. This is so cool.
Thanks.
This is so, it makes me excited about Mastodon.
Yeah. Mastodon got boring. So this makes it not boring.
For a bit.
Yeah. For a bit.
Let's thank some people. I got to get you out on time. We have Rove Ducks here, 2222 from Salty Crayon. And he says, hello, boardroom. What an exciting 2023 was in the podcasting 2.0 universe. I went from onboarding I Am Texas Slim to creating my own V4V music podcast, which is Upbeats. You got to listen to it. All thanks to everyone that is running with scissors that made this all possible. Can't wait to see what we do in 2024. We're at the top of the mountain and we're only halfway up. Happy New Year. 5x5 in the pipe and go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
17,776 just came in from Booberry. That's the pew pew you heard. Ainsley and I are going to be reading through all the boosts and zaps from the live concerts last week at 7 p.m. Central tonight. We'll be live and lit on the BTS feed. I've also started chewing on some potential gear for a show in Nashville. So far, I've tracked down possibly 62 intelligent lighting fixtures. Oh, wow.
Okay.
I was going to mention, so Podfest is coming up. And I believe they will be streaming some things live. I have no idea who's in charge of what or anything, but I would love to follow a Podfest feed. And I would, I'm not going to go to the conference. I would love to follow I'd love to follow that if there's something live. And, you know, I don't know anyone feels like they want to jump in there, but these are the types of things that we should be doing for our own community. And there's 10,000 sats from Music Mama.
Oh,
Music Mama.
I guess I think I know who that is.
Yeah, Ainsley's mom.
Ainsley's mom has got it going.
That, you just made it creepy, Dave.
Oh, sorry. I meant Stacy's mom. Sorry. And I said,
okay, thumbs up. We're talking my language. Yes, I asked the question for you specifically, Music Mama. We got Circus Media. Happy New Year, Adam and Dave. Go podcasting. And we have Dreb Scott. 4567 from Dreb Scott. He just says, hello there and boost.
Boost.
And another one from Dreb Scott. 45678. 45,000. I think these days.
Baller.
Close to a baller.
Shakala, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
And let me see if we got anything else. Then I hit the delimiter. So over to you.
Well, first of all, the boys at RSS.com
sent us a nice, I got a nice email from them. Got a nice email.
The email included a PayPal of $2,024.
Holy crap.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
Boost.
It works better when I do it like that. I can't do it that well. Anyway, thank you. So that's a New Year's boost, a New Year's baller boost.
Are you scratching the record?
I am. Wicka, 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 wicka. Yeah, boost.
Boost, boost, boost.
Thank you so much. Wow, guys. Thank you.
Note from Ben over there. He says, hey, Adam and Dave, we want to wish you and all contributors of time, talent, and treasure a very happy, successful, and productive 2024. We're so excited for the future of podcasting and see so much more to come over the horizon. your friends at RSS.com.
Thank you, friends at RSS.com. You guys are great. Appreciate that so much. Yeah, and of course, as I said, we exist. The whole thing is because of the decentralized nature of the podcast hosting companies. That's your ecosystem. Yep. Again, YouTube is evil.
Yes, Satan's helper. We have Boostergram. That was our only PayPal, and it was a nice one. Thank you, guys. And we have Boost, though. We have Kyron, 4128, through the podcast index. He says, listening to Podcasting 2.0, I've always felt like a security guard tuning into the boardroom the next day on grainy black and white security cameras. What shenanigans did they get up to the day before? Oh, Adam has broken someone's app, and Dave must be sick because everyone is keeping their distance. Was an absolute pleasure to get the experience firsthand, a sensual one at that. Merry Christmas to all.
And to all, a good night. Thank you, Kyron. We had a good time. That was a fun episode. I like that. Yeah, it was great to have you on and great to get your take. That was really nice.
Sir Brian of London, 101948. Baller Boost.
Woo! Hello.
Baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Through Castomatic, he says, Merry Christmas Boost. Oh, he's a Christmas Jew. And wishing for a peaceful new year of 2024 for the whole Podcasting 2.0 family, even when I mention Hive runs Podping on Noster. Those are fighting words. You're gang tackled on Noster.
Yeah, this is the only guy where I'd say, I hope you have no fireworks on New Year's.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you, buddy. Bad career advice, Chad. Satchel Richards, 1111. He says, regarding social comments, this was an interesting conversation, but it sounds like what was settled on was YouTube super chats with sats, but decentralized and no requirement for a money transfer license. I think there is a recency bias on the part of Adam with his growing tiredness of NAS and social media in general. The problem you get is when people want their interaction to be stored as I was here emotion. I think there needs to be a balance struck between user interface and or user experience and Podfather Sage vision.
Absolutely. And let me just quantify that. No Agenda Social has gotten boring for me because it's just like this game to troll me. And so when I go there, it's not fun. It's like, yeah, obviously I have very thick skin, but it's like, I'm not going there. If I want to see interesting art, I find myself going to the live server button more than anything just to see what other people are posting. But I won't interact because if I interact, then someone's going to say something like, ugh! And I'm okay with trolling, but I like trolling in a chat room. And I want people to troll as hard as they can against me. Because yeah. It's like there's only 20 lines and it scrolls off and I don't see it anymore. And it's gone. So it can't hurt me. It can't come back. It's like, oh, okay. He said something funny. And I can handle it like that. And it's just this, the ephemeral versus the, it's there forever waiting for me to show up.
Yeah, versus the slow motion train wreck troll that happens in a Mastodon chat. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, that's all. And of course, once I brought it up, now that was the cardinal mistake. Oh, now we're going to troll him all the time. He hates memes. Look, I've created Adam Curry meme account. Hey, I'm going to tag you in every meme I send.
That's fun.
And I don't want to be blocking all the time. You know, it's like sometimes the things are funny, but people, that's just the nature. That's human nature. So, but to go to an Ainsley Costello account where, there's people talking about her music. Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's this is basically so, Mastodon or any social media. It's your parents' house when your parents are gone.
Yeah, yeah,
basically.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and I would expect Ainsley to have her own Mastodon server, and if she feels like there's someone out of control, she can take action.
Yeah, boot.
Yeah, whatever she needs to do.
Bad career advice chat again, 1111 through Fountain. He says, regarding Kyron's view of boostergrams, that is certainly one experience. The problem is that you don't want to project your thoughts on how podcasts should be experienced. Kyron washes dishes and never looks at the player. Bad career advice Chad, for the sake of this example, likes to burn his retinas with blue light staring at the same podcast art. both experiences should be accommodated, else Podcasting 2.0 takes the same tack as Noster and dictates the experience. Can't argue with it.
No argument, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Bad career advice, Chad. He's burning up the airways of 1111. He says the ad developers should be creating the experience that they think their customers would like. The most popular will economically dominate. Podcasting 2.0 as a protocol should allow ad developers to be able to compete in an open marketplace of podcast experiences.
It does. It does.
He says, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
It does. Of course it does. I mean, yeah. And we've seen lots of differentiators between apps. I use multiple apps for that very reason.
He sends a few more Satchel Richards, and he says, I'm going to drain my wallet 1111 sats at a time shit posting listening to this episode. I saw all your shit posts. Thank you.
Back yeah, here, I saw him too. Believe me. I got helipad open 24/7.
Let's see. Oh, Music Mama. 100,000 sats.
Whoa. She be big baller Music Mama.
Truly, madly, deeply grateful. Boosting is loving. Oh. Thank you, Music Mama. Appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate you. You gave your baby girl to us to throw her into the RSS pool. It worked. And we gave her back better than ever. Yep.
Bad career advice, Chad, again with a satchel. She says, boosting one more time because Christmas. George Orwell said, Row of Ducks, 2222. He says, Merry Christmas. Thank you, George Orwell. Appreciate that. Cole McCormick sent 5492 through Fountain. He says, I need to share how I'm running with scissors in this moment. I really want to build up V4V cinema. I just posted my new little short film, Magic Mushroom Fun Time. Did you see that, Adam?
Yes, I Magic did. Mushroom. Oh, yes, yeah. I did. That Alex sent it to me. That was crazy. Yeah. And I love that it just popped open in Podverse. Mm-hmm. Played right there.
I posted my new short film, Magic Mushroom Fun Time, on No Agenda Tube and giving my team splits. I was heavily inspired by Fantasia. The whole movie is one homeless Moses song with me dancing and seeing wild shapes and colors. I combined V4V music, AI imaging, traditional filmmaking techniques, and magic mushrooms. Mm-hmm. This comes from the purest place in my heart. Please check it out if you have 7 minutes.
We do. Phoebe is. Phoebe is on magic mushrooms.
Attack mode.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cass Peeland, 3690 through Fountain. He says, No strolling sats.
Streaming sats.
No streaming sats on Fountain. This is so many typos. On Fountain 1.x. I think I need to update my profile. Cass, you're drunk.
That's right. You're drunk. That's it. You're drunk. Sorry.
Forged Foe, 7777. Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year to you, Forged Foe. Gene Bean sent us 2222. Through Castmatic, he says, Dave, Mark on the Linux Matters podcast has been talking about fedifying his static blog, and I think he may have solved some of the same challenges you're talking about here. Mm. Here's the show, and Mark is, and he links me to them. Okay. Well, thanks, Gene. I appreciate that. I'll follow him on Mastodon.
A late entry from D's Laughs, 20,000 sats. Love you too, even though I don't understand most of the tech. Thank you, brother.
We're so earnest.
Well, he's a V4V music artist, so he's here for the ride.
Yep, and the mushrooms. Comic strip blogger, 10,000 sats through Fountain, the delimiter. He says, Happy New Year 2024, Podcasting 2.0 team. May your audio be crisp, your content engaging, and your subscribers multiplying faster than tribbles on the Starship Enterprise. Yo, CSB.
Yo. He's posting stuff now, but I saw him on podcastindex.social. He posted something and gave a ration. You know, he was like, this sucks, rationale, colon. And then it was all ChatGPT output.
Come on,
man. We see what's going on. We see what you're doing.
Everything CSB says is in the form of a syllogism.
He's important, though. He's important to us.
Thank you, CSB. He's clearly emerged from his hibernation, his December hibernation.
Yeah, I want to know how your test went. He was doing a test. He had like some big test he had to study for AI certification or something.
Yeah, let us know. Monthlies. Jordan Dunville, $10. Dreb Scott, $15. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And that's our group.
Beautiful. Thank you all so much for another year in the Podcasting 2.0 Value for Value ecosystem. As someone say, ecosystem. It's all value for value. You deliver your time, your talent, your treasure, and we keep moving the project forward. Thank you all so much for your input. And in this case, for your boostergrams, people in the boardroom, and for the code that you sling, and for the boost that you're sending. We have such a great collection of people that have come to this project. It goes directly towards the project. Everything is for the servers. Keep everything running. We keep all of the sats on the node. If you need liquidity, let me know. Happy to help you out. Go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons. And as usual, I will go one more time to check the other one, which is for your on-chain. Remember, you're going to send all those big Bitcoin to us and nothing at all. So thank you for that. But of course, we really want you to go to modernpodcastapps.com and pick up one of the apps that you can send us a boost with, stream some sats, not just us, but all of the almost 16,000 podcasts and now also artists with songs that are part of the big Podcasting 2.0 experience. Thank you all so much. We really appreciate it.
You got to try out that that ISO. Do you, they say the ISO that says yes? That's a good one.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me see. You got a couple more. Do you mind if I check them all out for a second?
Run it.
100%.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye is good.
Ka-ching.
Okay. I think I have a good one for the end here. I'm going to say.
What about? Okay, all right.
What is another one? Did I miss one?
No, you missed one. You missed wow.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
That's wow. I like wow. Every surfer guy.
Wow. You know,
wow.
Guy. Wow, man.
Wow, baby. All right, Dave. All right. Hey, brother, have yourself a great New Year. We say in Holland, in the old country, we say a year change. Have a great year change. sounds better in Dutch. Jaarwisseling.
Yeah, it sounds more like you're going to the audit. You know, like to get your tires rotated or something.
Have a great year change. Year rotation. There you go. Man, thank you. I love you so much, brother. It's so much fun to do this with you. I enjoy my Fridays. I really do. I always look forward to Friday. Always. Me too. Always do.
I get excited, especially when there's something to share. That's great.
Well, great job on this. I can't wait to see where this goes. Where the whole group takes it. It's up to you guys and gals. Happy New Year, boardroom. Yeah. Thank you for being here for Podcasting 2.0, episode 161. We'll be back in 2024 with more of your very own Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Wow. It's orgasmic.